Yudches Hamer Aleph, 18a3. Okay, the Mishnah said, we finished the Mishnah. The Mishnah said a number of dinim that the Gemara is going to be discussing. Number one, a Kohen Gadol could be judged and is judged. You could testify for him, he could testify for him. Right? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. So the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol done, you see in the Gemara. 8 lines in the bottom of the page or so.
It says
it said in the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Don, a Kohen Gadol is a can judge. Gemara says, Pshita, why not? I mean, why shouldn't the Kohen Gadol be a regular Jew? Why shouldn't he be able to be a judge? So it says, Don and Eisi Yitzrachale. The Chiddush is that you could judge a Kohen Gadol. The Chiddush is you could judge. So Gemara says, Onami Pshita, why not? Because the din is, the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk, if you can't judge him, he can't judge others.
You can't judge a king.
No, you can't.
You can't judge a king.
Right, because and he can't judge either.
King cannot judge?
No, that's what it says. One second. If we cannot judge him, how could he judge others? It says, his keishishu, vacation. The pasuk says, "Search within yourself, and then search others." V'amareish lakish k'sheit atzmacha. First, correct yourself, then correct others. So obviously, you can't. If you can't judge him, he can't judge others. So of course, why does it? In other words, the Gemara's question is, why does it need to tell me a din about a Kohen Gadol that he can't judge and be judged? It's obvious that he could. Why is he different than any other Jew?
How about you can't?
So Gemara says, one second. I did a kabbalah mishnah sefer because at the end of the mishnah it says melech leidon v'leidon in oisei by a king he cannot judge or be judged. So therefore, I would think a kohen gadol is also special. Now, to just think a king can judge and be judged, I would think a kohen gadol could also not judge and be judged. Tana nami kohen gadol don v'don. Okay, that's what so it says. Really, it's not important to say it. But the fact that we say about a king, so it says about a Kohen Gadol. Iboy Seymo, one second. Hakamashma on the Chiddush is in another way. Okay? Kedetanya, like it says in the Braise, Kohen Sharagas a Nefesh, if a Kohen Gadol killed that killed somebody, bemaze it, if he did it deliberately, Nerag, he gets killed. Beshegig, if he did it accidentally, Gaili, he goes into Golis. And if he transgresses a positive or a negative mitzvah, he's like a regular Jew. Now the Gemara says basically a Kohen Gadol is a regular Jew. Yeah, if he kills somebody, he gets killed. He kills somebody accidentally, he has to run to Ari Miklat. He eats chazer, he gets whipped. So it says, "Bemezig nera pshita." Of course he gets killed. Why shouldn't the Kohen Gadol get killed if he kills somebody? Nobody's above the law. So it says, B'shege geile itzrechle. The Chiddush is that if he did somebody accidentally, he would run into Golos. Why?
That's also like a regular
thing. No. Why? What's the difference? Honami pshito. Okay, the Gemara says it's understood. The Gemara says itzrech. No. Because I would think a Kohen Gadol doesn't go into Golos. I would think because the pasuk says, the Torah says if somebody kills somebody accidentally, he runs to the city of refuge and he stays there until the Kohen Gadol dies, which implies that the only way you run to the city of refuge if you can get out when the Kohen Gadol dies. But in this case, he ain't going nowhere. So he says, Ema kol isay d'takanta b'chazara ligli. I would think any place where a person has the ability to get out of Ari Miklat, that's when he goes in. Oh, but the last day, takanta b'chazara, but if he has no way of getting out of Ari Miklat, le ligli, he shouldn't go into Golus. Why would I think that way? The Tanam, because it says, this is all one long Megillah, it says in the Mishnah, ha'ed a Kohen Gadol, if somebody kills a Kohen Gadol,
they're going to kill him there, because everybody's going to get relieved.
Yeah.
No, people don't kill the guy did accidentally. What do you think? Or a Kohen Gadol shot against a nefesh, or a Kohen Gadol killed somebody, and he yates him yisham leilam. A Kohen Gadol can never get out of Ari Miklat. Or if you kill a Kohen Gadol, okay, now, why? Because in order to go out of Golus, you need to the Kohen Gadol to die. But if you kill a Kohen Gadol, there's no Kohen Gadol in office to die that you should go out.
But they're going to appoint another one.
Yeah, but they didn't appoint him yet. Think about it.
When
the guy kills the guy kills a Kohen Gadol. At the time he killed him, was there another Kohen Gadol in office?
No.
Okay, so therefore he can't go out.
It has to be the same
Kohen. Not the same, but it has to be a Kohen Gadol that's in office at the time he kills him.
So he's the Kohen Gadol.
Huh?
He is the Kohen Gadol.
So therefore, if a Kohen Gadol kills somebody, yeah, when he's going to Adi Mikrot, is there another Kohen Gadol on the job?
No.
So what's he can't go out.
There's going to be eventually another one.
Huh?
So when that one dies?
No, because it has to be a Kohen Gadol that's existing at the time you killed somebody.
Oh.
Ad Meisa Kohen Gadol.
And what about those people in
they can kill him and get rid of him.
Went to Adi Mikrot and they were hoping that when this Kohen Gadol passes away, they come out.
Yeah. They cheat him right away.
So
if a Kohen Gadol got killed, they all go out.
Yeah,
if a Kohen Gadol killed someone, and therefore for
we'll see later in the Gemara about that.
Rabbi, also it's very dangerous to send the Kohen Gadol there. No?
Why?
They're going to kill him.
Why should they kill him?
They get three.
The guy killed somebody accidentally. People are not murderers.
They will get
so you also accidentally kill him?
It's against
the law.
Will they come and join him?
Oh, that's good. They don't know that.
So they're just going to kill him. Where is this going to go?
You know you can't kill somebody?
But they
can't
release.
They got... Anyway, I would think like Liglet, he shouldn't go into Golas. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that he still goes into Golas. In other words, like this. The Gemara asked the question... Why does it say that a Kohen Gadol goes into Golus? Right? If somebody kills him, they go into Golus. So he says, because I would think a Kohen Gadol doesn't go into Golus if he kills somebody accidentally. Yes, if he kills somebody intentionally, you kill him, because he's not any different than any other Jew. Right? But l'chayde, if a Kohen Gadol kills somebody accidentally, I would think that because he can't go out, he doesn't go into Golus. The Chiddush is no. Kamash Malan. So the Brice and the Mishnah are telling us, a Kohen Gadol is subject to Golus. So the Gemara says, maybe Taki doesn't. And as the Brice says, a Kohen Gadol who kills somebody does go into Golus, right? But maybe not, for this reason. So the Gemara says, Lanush Shamakor Atzeach. The Torah says, any murderer runs there. It should have said, Lanush Shamakor Atzeach. Right, the murder. Why is it Kol Rotzeach? Kol Rotzeach includes that even somebody who logic dictates he shouldn't go into Golus, like a Kohen Gadol, he goes in anyway.
So who goes to Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur?
Huh? No, that didn't get another one.
Melech has the same day?
No, Melech ain't done like done in Eisei. No.
If a Melech intentionally, that's okay.
A Melech al Pidin was allowed to kill people. He's allowed to kill subjects.
At will, with no reason.
Yeah, that's not all. You're not talking about a king that's a Russia. But yeah, but first of all, the Mishnah says ain't done really done in Eisei.
You can't judge also.
Huh?
You can't judge.
You can't. Okay, one second. We say we'll see later in the Gemara.
If he decrees somebody to die, he's judging.
Well, David HaMelech judged. David HaMelech judged. We'll see about that.
Yeah. He was a judge.
So they can't.
We'll see. What it means.
Well, not to your
hats. Tosis over here says, okay, we'll see later in the Gemara, but it's not yet in the... Tosis over here says, this that a king can't judge is by himself. But with others, he's allowed to judge because the judgment is not only based on him. So based on that, Tosis over here. So based on that, it could be that when David HaMelech judged and Shlomo HaMelech judged, it was David HaBeis Dinei.
In Peshmer?
Is it part of Sanhedrin?
The Rambam talking in Zagdom speaks about David Beis Dinei. Doesn't say David, he says David Beis Dinei.
So he can be one of this king? In the Sanhedrin?
Well, no, we'll see. This says you don't put a king in the Sanhedrin. Okay. Then it says like this. In the Brice it says like this. If a Kohen Gadol sinned, you know, he did like eight chazer or whatever, whether it passes the mitzvah, he's punished. So it says, Leisag, the lay of it. The expression of the Braise, it says, Oyver al esev aloy saser. It doesn't say if he transgressed. He says he transgresses. So the Gemara says he staggered the love. It seems to imply that a kohen gadol is supposed to sin. Just the language of the Braise. It doesn't say if a kohen gadol sins, you punish him. He says a kohen gadol sins, positive and negative. So Gemara says leisaged loyavid. I mean, he's supposed to sin. Gemara says no, that's not chikama. Im aver al nesig. It's a funny question and answer. But the Gemara just taking the Braise literally. The Braise literally means a kohen gadol should sin. So Gemara says, what does that mean?
It's a hypothetical
question. But the Braise says it doesn't mean that they should sin. It means if they sin, they're dealt with like everybody else. So Gemara says pshita. Of course, Kohen Gadol, why shouldn't a Kohen Gadol be judged? So he says, Sauka Daita Chamina, because I would think that Hoyl Tran, it says in the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah, Ein Don and Leia says Shevet, Veleia Snavi Asheket. You can judge a tribe, or a false prophet. Veleia says Kohen Gadol. And not a Kohen Gadol, the first Mishnah of Sanhedrin, yeah? Said, you can only judge, we're speaking about which Bezdin is 3, which Bezdin is 23, which Bezdin is 71. So the first Mishnah of Sanhedrin says, you don't judge a tribe, if a tribe, you know, the whole tribe sinned, or a false prophet, or a Kohen Gadol, only al pi Bezdin shel shivim ve'echad. Okay? The Gemara says like this, it says, if somebody eats chazer, he gets whipped, yeah? What's the Bezdin 3? Malchus, the Mishnah says they get 3 people as a Bezdin. So basically, this Braisa is saying that if a Kohen Gadol ate Chazer, he's judged. 71. No, but the Braisa says he's judged like everybody else. Kehedyet, he's like everybody else. Meaning, what type of Bezdin do you have?
3.
So Gemara says, of course. Gemara says, no. Because our Mishnah said before, you only judge a Kohen Gadol with a Bezdin of 71. So I would think, even for simple things, you also judge him for 70. What's it says? No. For Kain Eit Chazer, a Bezdin of 3 is enough. So it says, Amar Avada Barava. Why? Kol Dover HaGod Yovio Elecha. It says, about Meshach, but the Pasuk says, when Yissi was complaining, yeah? And therefore Hashem told him also, all the big things they should bring to you. Now, big things can mean one of two things.
Capital.
Big things, or things of big people. Kol Dover HaGadol can be translated two ways. Anything of a Gadol, of a great person, should be brought to you, or any great thing which should be brought to you, meaning what they did, what they don't know. So, Dvarev Shel Gadol. So, aim, I would think, Kol Dvarev Shel Gadol, anything pertaining to a Kohen Gadol should be 3. So, Kamash Lon, the Braisa says no. The Braisa teaches us that a Kohen Gadol, if he sinned in things that the Bezdin of 3 is enough, the Kohen Gadol is judged by 3. So Gemara says, Vema Achanami, maybe Taki, a Kohen Gadol is always judged by 71. Maybe he should Taki always be judged. For Kohen Et Chazer, he should be judged by 71. It's more respectful. So it says, Mi Ksiv Divrei Gadol. The Pasuk doesn't say the words, the issues of a great man. He says, Hadover HaGadol, meaning, Dover Gadol Mamish, the matter is great, not the person. Okay. So therefore, the Gemara basically is teaching us like this. A Kohen Gadol, for all practical purposes, and this stuff, is like a regular person. He kills somebody, goes to Adi Miklat. Gets killed, people run to Adi Miklat. The Kohen Gadol sins, whatever a Hedyot Bezdin needs, that's what he needs. Not any different than anybody else. He could judge, he could be judged. No difference. Kohen Gadol basically is like, except for the laws of, like it says, you can't go out and base a Migdosh, and all that stuff, you know, for dead bodies. But like this, and Kohen Gadol like everybody else. But a king not. The king not. That's what some say. Okay, then it says like this. And the Mishnah said, Meid Umeiden Eise. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to testify, and you can testify against the Kohen Gadol. So Gemara says, what does it mean? Meid. Okay, now the implication of the Mishnah is, when it says Meid, that means he must testify. Now you have to understand, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, "Im lo yagid v'nasa aveinei." If you don't say witness testimony, it's you're transgressing a negative commandment of the Torah. Okay, if a person knows witness testimony, he has an obligation halacha to Torah biblically to go to Beis Din and testify whatever the testimony is. There's no thing as subpoena in Jewish law. No.
They don't.
If you know, they can call witnesses to come, but I'm saying a person that saw Reuven kill Shimon, or the witness that saw that Reuven ate Chazer.
On his own, he has to come? He
has to come to Beis Din. That's what the pasuk says.
On his own.
On his own. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss Meid Umeidin Aise means simply a Kohen Gadol must testify. So the Gemara is going to ask,
Everyone must testify.
But the Gemara is going to ask, a Kohen Gadol should not have to. See, there's two ways of learning the mission. He could or he must. The word Meid Umeidin Aise simply means he must testify, like anybody else. Right? So the Gemara is going to ask, L'chayra, Kohen Gadol should be exempt. Why? So it says like this, because the pasuk says, V'salamto, it speaks by a lost Aveda. Okay, he brings down the pasuk, says, L'yisira sherechicha sein nidachim, you're not allowed to see the axe of your friend or his sheep wandering. V'salamto mehem, and you can conceal yourself from it. Hashit teshivim nachichi, you have a biblical mitzvah to return a lost article to a neighbor. Yeah? But if you notice, that it quotes at the bottom of the pasuk. The pasuk sounds like this. If I'm walking in the street and I see my friend's animal wandering, means it's lost. This alamta, you might think that you can hide yourself. So Torah says, Hashit teshivim nachicha. You have to return it. Now, the Gemara in Bamitzi, over here the Gemara is quoting it also, asks, the word v'salamt is extra. The Torah says, you see your friend's animal wandering, ha'ashif teshivim l'achicha. Why does it say v'salamt, which simply means, you would think that you couldn't look the other way. So the Torah says, no, ha'ashif teshivim l'achicha. Why does the Torah say v'salamt? So the Gemara learns out from there, v'salamt means, sometimes you could hide. Sometimes v'salamt, you're allowed to hide.
No, he said dafko, you don't.
But v'salamt, the Torah didn't have to say it. So now that it says it, what does it mean v'salamt? It's a question like v'salamt, you would think that you could hide. No, hashiv tshuvin l'achicha. Right, but the Torah didn't have to say the word v'salamt.
I mean, it's more descriptive to say something.
But it's an extra word for no reason.
It's not no reason.
Sure it is. It's no reason because the Gemara learns out halacha from there. So Gemara says, why does the Torah say v'salamta? Because the Torah's teaching is sometimes you could be v'salamta. Sometimes you could look the other way. When? So it says, for instance, pa'amim sha'ata misalim, sometimes you could hide, meaning look the other way. U'pa'amim she'inata misalim, that you're not allowed. Okay, tzad. Kayin v'u b'veis ha'kvaris, what happens if a Kohen sees somebody's lost donkey in a cemetery? Now, a Kohen can't go into the cemetery. So now the question is, what does he do?
Matz,
with a tzaddik. That's the word selim.
But isn't it demeaning to Kohen Gadol to do
a menial? One sec. Or, zakim ein lefi chvedi. In other words, like this. There's a rule in Torah. Let me explain this. There's a rule in Torah. Ese deicha leisase. A positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah. That means, if by doing the positive mitzvah, you're transgressing a negative mitzvah, and there's no other way of doing the positive mitzvah, so then the thing is, positive mitzvah pushes off the negative mitzvah. Okay? Now, a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei. It says, L'nefesh lo yitam abamav. It's a negative commandment. Hashiv teshivim, returning a lost article, is a positive mitzvah. So L'chayit, I would think, if a Kohen sees an animal in a cemetery, he should return it. Why? Because it's a positive mitzvah returning the lost article. Verse, and you can't do both differently. You're doing the mitzvah by going into the cemetery.
Well, you could tell someone to go for your cemetery.
There's nobody around, obviously. But, so I would think, so the Torah said, v'salamta, that sometimes you could hide. Meaning, a kohen gadol, the Torah said, or, zokei meina lefi chvedei, an older person, and this, by the way, refers to an elderly scholar, not an elderly scholar, old person, whatever it is, different opinions what this means, or, he says his work is more valuable than the object that he has to return. Let's say the object that was lost is worth $100 and it'll take him an hour to return it, and he gets paid $500 an hour. So then he's going to be losing a lot of money by returning the article. Therefore the Torah says some things you could hide. Now, what do you see from this whole Megillah? From the whole Megillah you see that sometimes, if it's below his dignity, he doesn't have to do it. So the Gemara says, how do I know that a Kohen Gadol must testify? What happens if a Kohen Gadol feels it's below his dignity to go to court to deal with the two guys he owes him $100? What should Kohen Gadol mean, you know? It's not a capital punishment, something for Klal Yisrael. So I would think that you don't have to go. Okay? So the Gemara's question is, why does a Kohen Gadol have to go? You see from the Torah that sometimes, even though it's a question of a mitzvah, even though it's a question of a mitzvah, if it's below his dignity, you don't have to do it. So maybe a Kohen Gadol also doesn't have to testify. Or why should he have to testify? That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, you're right. You know what testimony the Kohen Gadol has to go for? A testimony on a king.
Only
for the king. Meid lemelech. So therefore, it's not below the dignity of the... But right away the Gemara says, it says in the Mishnah, you don't testify for a king. No. Everyone's going to ask that right away. Right? But Gemara's answer, you're right. So based on Rav Yosef's answer, by the way, it means like this. That a Kohen Gadol does not have to testify. When is he allowed to testify? When must he testify if it's for a king? Then you can't say he's below his dignity because he's testifying for the king. But the Gemara says right away, it says right away you don't testify for a king. How can a Kohen Gadol testify for a king? The Mishnah clearly says you don't testify for a king. So Gemara says, it doesn't mean the king, it means a prince. So the Gemara says, Ben Melech had you two. A prince is a regular Jew. So why is a Ben Melech in Torah is not honored more than anybody else. A Melech is honored. A Ben Melech is not honored. Halachically.
Ben Melech Melech.
Huh?
That's sure.
Ben Melech Melech.
It doesn't say that. It says Eved Melech Melech.
No.
No.
So,
Eved Melech Melech.
So, in this case, Kohen never testified.
One minute. So, the Gemara's question is like this: why does a Kohen have to testify? Kohen Gadol. So, the Gemara says he's testifying for a king. So, Gemara said, but for a king, there's no testimony. So, he said, okay, the son of the king. So, Gemara says, son of the king is a regular Jew. Like, what's the difference? So, Gemara says, what it means is Meid Bifnei Amelech. He could testify in the presence of the king. That means like this. If a king is don't ask me, the king can judge. If a king is judging somebody, something, and the Kohen Gadol knows testimony, the Kohen Gadol has an obligation to go in the presence of the king to testify. I is below his dignity. It's not, because it's in the presence of the king. But you're not testifying for the king, and you're not testifying for the king's kid. So I said, but vein ein me shivim melech b'Sanhedrin. But the halacha is, you're not allowed to put a king in the Sanhedrin. So the question is, how could a Kohen Gadol testify in the presence of a king? A king cannot be in the Beis Din. Okay?
Why is there happening at the Ben Melech?
Because Gemara thought, okay, Ben Melech maybe is a little bit more dignity for the Kohen Gadol, more chashuv.
When king is asking Sanhedrin,
is that it's not.
Huh?
King has to ask Sanhedrin for
the Gemara was entertaining that.
The Gemara is just discussing it. It was not entertaining it because the Gemara Mishnah says clearly not.
I don't know.
If he wanted to, he could.
Regarding the optional war.
The only question is, by the way, may it is if he's allowed, if he must, not if he could. The Gemara's question was, why must he? Why isn't it below his dignity? So Gemara's mentioning cases where it's not below his dignity. One second, though. So Gemara says, he testifies in the presence of a king. So it says, but a king is not allowed to be in the Sanhedrin. So how could you be testifying in front of the king? So it says, Mishum Yikada, the Kohen Gadol. So it says like this, interesting. Because the Kohen Gadol has testimony that he must say. So you put the king in the Sanhedrin for respect of the Kohen Gadol. Asav Yosef. Okay, listen to this. The king sits there. Mikabla Nele is a Sadducee. The king hears the testimony of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, the king gets up and leaves. And everybody looks into the case of the king's son.
This has nothing to do with Anna Lakon being quiet.
No. Now, Taisa the year asked, and this is where Taisa asked the interesting question that we said. Taisa says, the Gemara's question was, how can a Kohen Gadol say testimony in front of a king? A king is not in the Sanhedrin. Right? That's a later Mishnah. The Gemara could have asked a simple question. Our Mishnah says a king can't judge. Why is Gemara going to a later Mishnah when our Mishnah already said that a king can't judge?
Our Mishnah is talking about...
So that's Taisa's question. Taisa's question is, why does the Gemara using a Mishivin Melech B'Sanhedrin, why is the Gemara using that concept to say why the Kohen Gadol can't testify in the presence of the king? There's no king in the Beis Din. So Taisus asks, Tema, why doesn't that say my mission that a Melech is not judge, can't judge? So how can the Kohen Gadol ever testify in front of a king? So Taisus answers, because this, that a king can't judge, is only alone. That's what they said. Yeshleimad, Hadein Melech Don. Do you see on the right side the third thesis? Ve'ha'im Meshiv Melech B'Sanhedrin. Yeah. So it says, Tema Lifnech Masnisin. Why does it say from not putting a king in a king in the Beis Din? It says Melech Leidon. Very Makamashma LeMasnisin. It says a Mishnah Melech Leidon. Right? You don't judge the king. So the Ashlema, this, by the way, in this case is answered, like we said before, answers all the questions. Okay? Why? Because if he can't judge a king, then we learned the passage for Keshuv is Keshishu, if you can't judge a king, then you can't, the king can't judge. But not alone.
Moshe Rabbeinu was considered the king, right?
Huh?
Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a king.
Yeah.
But we had before that he was a part of 70 and 71. He was a part of Sanhedrin.
We'll see that later in the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses this din of a Meshivan. Where it says,
who said that before the law was given?
Well, but Meshiv Ben Bechal was a whole different thing. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to discuss why you don't put a Kohen Gadol in it. What?
Apparently, but I know the Mishnah says he doesn't judge alone, but the Baraita says he can't even judge with other judges.
Where does it say that?
So you put on number 18. And it brings down Tosfot. It says, in the last sentence, if only from the right they learned that a king may not even sit on a Sanhedrin together with other judges.
Yeah. So a Sanhedrin of 71.
So he can't sit on a Sanhedrin, he can't be by himself, so there's a question remaining.
Not a Sanhedrin of 71, but he could sit with a few other judges.
Oh, a Sanhedrin of 71,
yeah.
He can't sit.
Yeah.
I have a question.
What?
Say a king wants to start an optional war, he has to bring it to Sanhedrin, right?
Yeah.
They're
not judging him, they're judging the nation if they should do it or not.
Yeah, but he has to be there to tell him about it.
Yeah, but he's not being judged. It's not him being judged.
that's a judge in this decision making.
It's decision making. It's not the judgment of the halacha. That's what I'm saying. He's not the king.
So he can sit in a bet din of less than 70. Sitting in a bet din of 70 is below his dignity, but not sitting in a bet din of 3 is not below his dignity.
Why does it say Kohen Gadol? Who, a melech or Kohen Gadol?
Kohen Gadol.
No, Kohen Gadol can. B'chal, you don't put the king. Well, it says Melech b'Sanhedrin. It doesn't say King Kohen Gadol b'Sanhedrin.
But his question also applies to Melech. If Melech can't say this is a Sanhedrin, why is it okay to do with the Beit Din?
Because it's not a din of a Sanhedrin. That's what I'm saying.
How come if Planet 70 is below his dignity? Planet 3 is not.
Who says below his dignity? Where does it say that?
So why not?
You get mixed up with the king. The king can.
By the way, the Gemara later, and no, I didn't remember this, but the Gemara later says, Melech v'lei don, you know, you don't judge it. Amen av Yisrael v'lei shono malchi Yisrael. Av malchi beis David, don v'don in Esam. If to see if the Gemara comes to the conclusion like that.
So you can take him to court?
But no, it says why? Because the Malchi Yisrael weren't subservient. So when they would rule, the kings, when Bezim ruled against them, they ignored it. So it was a Chilul Hashem. So they made a Tadin that you can't judge them. So the Pashinu Chilul Hashem. In fact, Taisus over there, it's a bunch of interesting Taisus in over here. It says, when the Gemara said, the Gemara was trying to figure out what a Kohen Gadol can judge in. I mean, they witness the testimony. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara said, V'salamta, that if a Kohen Gadol should be able to hide. In other words, he shouldn't be able to testify. So the Gemara answers, a king, and I, whatever. Taisus, that's a simple question. This is a very simple case when the Kohen Gadol has to testify. For Eitas HaChedesh. Because when it comes to Isid and Heter, he quotes the famous Gemara, Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna LeNeged Hashem. There's no, when it comes to Hashem, it says, there's a Gemara that says, brought on Shechnach, B'mokam Sheyesh Chilul Hashem, Ein Cholkin Kovid Afilu L'Rav. The Gemara, this is in Shechnach, by the way. Rambam brings it down. Gemara says it, and they learn that from this pasuk. It says when it comes to Chilul Hashem, there's no respect for anybody, yes. Not even for a rav, not of anybody. Why? Because God is supreme to everybody. So if there's going to be a Chilul Hashem, who cares about Rabbi so and so if you're dealing with God? Okay, 1 minute. So Taisus says like this: the Chayim, when it comes to Isser and Heter, not money. It's dealing with God when the Rosh Chodesh is going to be. That's God's business. So the Chayda, Kohen Gadol should be allowed to testify for Eidus HaChodesh. Because it's not money, it's Issev HaHeter.
But it's Nation of Israel's business.
Right, so that's God's business. So Taisus answers, you're right, but Me'ida means, for implies monetary also. So Me'idah doesn't only mean by Yisrael, it means by, so the Gemara said, then asks, so then how, why shouldn't the Kohen Gadol, maybe my monetary things he shouldn't be able to ask.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it. Why when there's Chilul Hashem, there's no Kavod L'Rav?
Because God comes first. God comes first.
Can you give an example when there's Chilul Hashem?
When rabbis come out with stupid, idiotic statements that cause the desecration of God's name, you don't have to respect them. You have to come out again.
When Pesach never happened.
Well, that's you're talking about rabbis. Yeah, whatever it is. Or there's another din. There's another interesting halacha, which is, people don't know this either. There's a din, you're not allowed to be made halacha b'fnei rabbi. You're not allowed to make halacha grueling in the presence of your rabbi. But if you see somebody doing something wrong, you're supposed to tell him, even though your rabbi's in the room. For the same reason. Because he's doing something against God. The rabbi doesn't make... you don't have God over here. You have to deal with God, not.
I heard when there is a when there is issue between Adam and Makom, you don't rebuke, or you can rebuke.
Yeah. Okay. So Gufa, now the Gemara says like this. Gufa, it says, a Meshiva Melech B'Sanhedrin. Okay, you don't put a Melech in the B'Sanhedrin. But a Melech V'Kohen Gadol be Iber Shana. And you don't put a king or a Kohen Gadol when it's a choice of testifying for the new year. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Why not? Because they're both biased.
Right.
Says why? Melech B'Sanhedrin. One second, we'll see about that. Is his judgment not Eidim's? Here he's speaking about the, to be part of the Bezdin. There we're talking about saying testimony. What's the connection? Okay, so it says like this. A king cannot sit in the Sanhedrin because it says, Leisan al-Riv. Okay, and in Chumash, it says, normally Riv, it means an argument. But over there, Riv is spelled without a Yud. So you read it Rav. Leisan al-Rav, meaning, Leisan al-Rav, you cannot respond to a dispute of a master. Therefore, if a king would sit on a Sanhedrin, nobody would voice the opinion against the king. Because that's disrespect to the king.
Unless you're going first, the king
can come last. Yeah, but that's the problem over here. Because the problem is, if the king is there, he has to go first. You can't say, king, you go last. So that's what the Mepharshim explain.
Well, why is it with the biggest rabbi on the Sanhedrin?
Because that's the road at bottom. Here you're talking about a king. You can't make a king go last. Right? So the king has to go first. Once everybody... Once the king says this thing, Leisan al-Rav, you can't disagree against the king, you're made of a Malchus. So I understand why you can't put a king on a Bezdin. Yeah? But, Le Melech v'Kohen Gadol b'Iber Shana, why can't you put a Melech or a Kohen Gadol on the leap year? He says, Melech Mishum Aspanya. Okay? Now, a king has an army. A king pays the soldiers. If it's an extra month, extra payroll. Yeah. So the king might not want it. He might not say. He said, let's not do a leap year.
He wants to pay. It's good if it's a leap year.
No, one second. I mean, right.
More taxes.
No.
He pays him a set amount a year.
He pays annually. I'm sorry. He pays annually.
Oh.
It could be either way, by the way. If he pays him annually, he doesn't want a leap year. Then he does want a leap year. Then he wants a leap year. If he pays him monthly, then he doesn't want a leap. Bottom line is, he's involved. Kohen Gadol Mishum Tzina. A Kohen Gadol, because of Yom Kippur, he might... Now, if there's a leap year, Tishrei is later. So it's closer to the winter. When a Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh 5 times in Yom Kippur, it's going to be a colder mikveh. So he doesn't want it. By the way, Tosis over here right away says, that Rashi says, this is what Rashi explains. So Tosis says, it can't be, because he used to warm the mikveh for him. He used to put in a hot metal, a big block of metal to warm it up. So Tosis learns, the kriyas is not the mikveh, like Rashi says, it's the standing on the floor.
But that is
Kohen Gadol went barefoot.
I think they warmed that up also.
No, not the floor. Okay, but you see an interesting thing over here in the Gemara. Okay? The definition of bayis. Can you imagine a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? You think all he's worried about is a cold mikveh? I mean, you don't have a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur.
Right, exactly.
You don't have a Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew. Mamish, the holiest Jew. Doing the avayd of Yom Kippur, going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, you think all he's thinking about is a cold mikveh?
Well, he's delicate. He don't
want to
catch a cold.
Oh, come on. That's good for you and me, not the Kohen Gadol. But you see that Taylor says, that's a bias, that's Negev Bedover, that he's disqualified from sitting in the Bezdin. Who would be better to figure out if you need a leap year or not, if not a Kohen Gadol or a king? That would be the best. And the king has so much money, so he has an extra payroll. I mean, what, is he going to go broke? Well, he does raise taxes, and he gets it. The king does what he wants. The fact, but you see an interesting thing. When people are judging others, or the slightest of bias, the slightest negei bedavar disqualifies you. You could be a kohen gadol, you could be a king. A person's still a person. If you think about it, it's a remarkable concept. The Torah says you cannot testify, you cannot sit in a bezin to proclaim a leap year. Why? Because you might have a cold mikvah. When? Half a year later.
Such a minute thing.
But the Torah says because of that it makes you involved, you're blind, and you don't see straight.
Can you kind of say that maybe the Kohen Gadol, you can't trust even his Yetzirah sometimes? Like the whole idea of the Kohen can't marry, a Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow, because he might daven for the husband of a pretty woman to pass.
No.
Is it all related to the idea that maybe even a Kohen Gadol, you have to watch out for his Yetzirah?
Truth of the matter is, I don't mean the Kohen Gadol in the second Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
Kohen and Gadolim didn't have a Yetzirah.
So why can he marry a widow then?
Because they're, even in the most remotest thing, it could be. Okay, see, if you take, we spoke about it a little bit yesterday. It's not the point of the conscious. You're talking about, first of all, the Gemara says, Ein apotropos l'arayis. But when, there's no guarantor when it comes to arayis, all that stuff. Okay. But if you think, the David and Bathsheba story. Yeah? David saw a pretty girl, he did what he did. Yeah? You're talking about, see, we don't dig this stuff because we're on such a low level, okay? David HaMelech was an ultimate level of Libi Cholub Bekirbi, Shem Li Yetzahara, Kiarga Betainus. And the Rebbe explains that was only in the initial state of David HaMelech's Aveda. That David HaMelech, the Gemara says, didn't have a Yetzahara. It says, until him there's a Pasuk, Libi Cholub Bekirbi, my heart is hollow within me. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Where it says the Yetzirah is in the hearts, he says he didn't have a Yetzirah. Okay? Then there's a higher level, like it says by Avram Avinu, that he even transformed the Yetzirah to Yetzirah. Right? The Tzadik Sheinu Gomor is kills the Yetzirah, Tzadik Gomor is transforms it. So the Rebbe explains this, that it says about David HaMelech. This is what it says about David HaMelech. That Libi Cholub Bekirbi, that was on the initial level of David HaMelech. But eventually, David HaMelech became a Tzadik Gomer, for sure, right? This whole thing with David HaMelech wanting Bathsheba and eventually marrying Bathsheba and having Shlomo HaMelech, yeah? Even though the baby she was carrying at this story died, okay. But Shlomo HaMelech came from David and Bathsheba. Mashiach comes from David and Bathsheba, yeah? You're talking about spiritual things that are going on that we have no comprehension what it's all about. Yehuda and Tamar. Yeshua married Rachav. By the way, when it says she'esha Zaina, okay, Zaina doesn't mean a prostitute. If you look right away in the bottom, and the it means a business person. Mizan, Zon. She was a business. She was a... She had a business. Right, whatever. So, you know, when you take Torah simply, and the Torah, yeah, Hashem has a good time with this. He says, I'm going to give you things, I want you to take them literally. Nasa Adam, you know, mess it up, make a mess of it, and think whatever you want. But you have to understand, when you're talking about Tzaddikim, you're talking about a whole different story. The fact that David HaMelech had such a taiva to Bathsheba, because David HaMelech had to marry her. Because Shlomo HaMelech and Mashiach have to come from it.
But it would have happened.
But this is the way Hashem made it happen. Why? The Gemara says, "Lo'ise David Roy, lo'ise Itzla." It was the whole story didn't fit David HaMelech. Besides the fact that he didn't sin.
Who said?
David HaMelech was king already. David HaMelech was, are you kidding?
So Kohen Gadol didn't have Yetzer Hara?
Of course not. Not in the second Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, okay.
But so all these things are much different. Like, God's going to die, so you can dance.